you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 10? I appreciate you watching the program every Sunday morning, and it's my prayer that it'll be a blessing to you in that. If you're not saved, you will see your need for salvation and come to a realization that Jesus Christ did the work for you, so you can believe in Him as your Savior, and God Almighty will save you. If you're already saved, it is my prayer that you will be built up and established in the faith, that I'll be able to say something here that will cause you to want to get in your Bible and study your Bible and search these things out and consider whether they be true or not. We use the King James Bible because we believe the Bible, the King James Bible, is the Word of God. I realize that there are other translations that contain some truths in them. But the King James Bible is God's book, as far as I'm concerned. If you're concerned in comparing some things, then you might compare the fact that the RSV, ASV, Moffat, Williams, New English, and whatever, these books, they bring reproach upon the virgin birth of Christ in Isaiah 7:14 and Luke 2:33. They instigate unbelief in the Word of God and in Christ as the Son of God by leaving out Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. They just ignore it, leave it out. They deny the blood atonement in Colossians 1:14, Ephesians 1:7, and I think about a dozen other passages. Check these passages in your Bible, the book you have, check them out. They deny the inspiration of the Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and numerous other things that people call errors, but I say these are not errors. They're intentional. Somebody, somewhere, intentionally caused books to be written called Bibles and put the word holy on the front of them, even though the individual that wrote those books do not believe the Bible is holy. But they did this to deceive God's people. In Matthew chapter 10, and by the way, we've been talking to you about the cross. We've discussed that the cross represents cruelty. It represents criminals, that which is bad, not that which is good. In Matthew chapter 10, notice in verse 31, fear ye not, therefore, you're more valued than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And this is in one accord with the confession of Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That righteousness, of course, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, is the righteousness of Christ. Man believeth unto righteousness, God's righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, a man can confess that which he believes in his heart. If you were to walk in our assembly and I say, sir, are you saved? And you were to say to me, yes, I'm saved. I said, well, how do you know you're saved? And you say, well, I repented of my sins, praying through at an altar, I got through to God. I repented and believed. I was baptized for remission of my sins. I'm holding out to the end. I'm keeping the commandments, believing that I'll be saved in heaven someday. Then I would accept at face value what you said, because Jesus Christ said, from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I would believe that you believed with your heart that which came out your mouth. If I were to say, are you saved? And you said, yes, I am. I say, how'd you get saved? And you say, well, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins at Calvary and that God raised him from the dead. I believe that he became my sin, that he paid for my sins at Calvary. And I, as a lost sinner, am trusting him and him alone to save me. I would believe you were speaking from your heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father. Say, Brother Moore, are you telling me that I've got to tell people about being saved for God to save me? No, I'm not telling you that. But I am asking you, what is wrong with telling people? Somebody say, Brother Moore, are you telling me I've got to confess Jesus Christ as my Savior for God to receive me? No, I'm not telling you that. I am asking you, though, do you know of anything wrong with confessing Jesus Christ? Do you know anything wrong with speaking through your mouth that which is in your heart? If Jesus Christ is your Savior, believing in that with all your heart, do you know anything wrong with confessing that to men? That's the issue that he's making in the context. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of the Lord? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is he talking about? Is he saying, I'm not embarrassed to stand on the street corner and hand out tracts? Is that what he's talking about? Is he talking about, I'm not embarrassed to talk to people about the Lord? No, that's not really what he's saying there. You see, at that time, people knew that Jesus Christ was hanged as a criminal. The Bible said he was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus Christ hanged between two thieves, and the world saw him as a thief. The world saw him as a bad character. They saw him as a criminal that deserved to die. And so Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In other words, I'm not ashamed to accept an individual as my Lord and Savior that the world thinks is a criminal. I'm not ashamed to accept as my Savior the Lord Jesus Christ, even though the world, the religious world, believes that he's the illegitimate child of somebody, and on it goes. You see, Jesus Christ suffered the reproach. He was spit upon. He was scorned. His beard was pulled out. He was hit in the face. He was buffeted and he was beaten. He was mistreated. He was scorned. He was laughed at and sneered at. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ bore it all for me. Jesus Christ suffered it for me. God delivered him up for us all, that we, by faith in him, could be acceptable to God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. In other words, if you think that the world is going to unify and get together in unity today, in peace and harmony, then keep in mind that the only way that'll ever happen will be either under the unity of the Antichrist in deception, or it'll be under the unity of Jesus Christ at his second coming. Otherwise, there'll never be unity. But that isn't all. There's not going to always be unity between you and other believers. Absolutely amazes me the people's attitude about fellowship. Most people wouldn't have the foggiest idea what the term really means if they met it in the hallway. May I suggest you look it up? There are people always talking about having fellowship. Oh, we're meeting for fellowship. We have fellowship. Comes to the real truth, they're not having fellowship. Why, to have fellowship means to be in agreement about things. A fellowship. a partner, one who's in agreement with what you're saying and believing and whatever. Fellowship. To fellowship is to be in agreement over something. Fellow means a friend. Come together with friends believing the same things. Well, there are a lot of the churches in America today that are talking fellowship who are having fellowship. They get together and John Doe over there just hates this person on the other side. This one over here's got malice against that one. They're gossiping about one another, running one another down, but they keep it quiet enough that they get together and they meet together and they have communion and on and on and on. And they say fellowship. That's not fellowship. That's compromise. And if they really spoke up and express what they believe, probably end up in a fist fight. Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. Verse 35, for I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. There's been many an individual in the past 30 years that I've been trying to preach that has told me about how when they got saved, they became an enemy in their own household because they confessed what they believed. And in some cases, they were thrown out. In some cases, they were put out. Why? Because they hated their family? No, not in the sense of hatred as malice as is known in the world today. It's because they never exalted their family above the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ first and their family second. Very few people do that today. They love themselves first, the family second, and if they love the Lord at all, he's last on the list. Some people today call themselves Christian. They love the dogs and cats more than they love the Lord. They care for the dogs and cats more than they study their Bible. And they would pray for their dog or their cat rather than pray for a brother in Christ. They would spend oodles of money to put some little mutt in a hospital somewhere so that a vet can work on his ears or whatever. Now, they wouldn't spend 3 seconds or 3 pennies getting the Word of God out. They would be in favor of women having abortion, killing little babies, and they would fight to the end to stop animals from being killed. Absolutely amazing. This world's in a mess. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now that's the first reference in the New Testament to the cross. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So what does that mean to me? That means to me then that the cross is self-denial. The preaching of the cross is preaching self-denial. How is that? If I believe in the cross, I don't believe in me. Now listen to me. If I believe in salvation by the cross, then I have to deny my own good works as a means of salvation. Anybody listening to my voice right now that believes that God is going to assist you in doing good works so that you can gain his favor, you do not believe in salvation by the cross. The cross is self-denial. You deny self. When have you come to a place? Look back in your mind. Think about it. When can you remember a day in your life that you saw yourself as unworthy of anything good from God? You saw yourself as a vile sinner. The Bible refers to our vile bodies being changed. When did you see your body as vile in the eyes of God? Sinful flesh, despicable in the eyes of God. And seeing yourself in that sense, you stood, as it were, before a judgment scene. In your mind, you could see Almighty God the judge. And you could see all this mass of humanity stand in front of God, ready to be condemned. And there you stood in that mass of flesh. And you saw yourself just like the harlot. You saw yourself exactly like the drunk. No better than the scum of this earth. You saw yourself as unworthy of anything good from God. And in your vile state, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In your lost, doomed, and damned condition, you, as it were, turned from yourself and turned to the Lord, believing that Jesus Christ became at Calvary what you see yourself as being. You saw yourself as a harlot and you realized Jesus became that sin at Calvary. You saw yourself as a whoremonger and you believe that Jesus Christ became that sin at Calvary. You saw yourself as a murdering scoundrel and you recognize that Jesus Christ was made to be that sin at Calvary. All of what you are by nature, you recognized that Christ became at Calvary what you are right now and was condemned by God. He stood in God's judgment hall for you and was condemned by God because He became what you are by nature and what you are by action. When do you remember in your mind a day in your life that those things happened to you? Well, I bet you I'm talking to somebody that you can remember a day in your life that you lifted yourself up out of your pew. And at the singing of Just As I Am Without One Plea, you walked forward and you joined the assembly. You didn't go there as a lost sinner. You didn't go down there as the scum of this earth. You believed you were worthy to join that assembly. A woman in Fairhope one night was talking to me, arguing with me about falling from grace, member of the Methodist Church. And I said, "Ma'am, when do you remember a day in your life? Where can you look back and find a day in your life that you as a lost sinner trusted Christ?" She said, "I've never been a lost sinner." When were you lost? When did you deny yourself and admit that you're no more than a worm, that you're no more than the scum of this earth, that you're not better than other people? You're one of the mass of humanity. And the Bible said, "Oh, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible said, "There's none good, not one." The Bible said, "There's none that doeth good." All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Do you remember a time when you recognize this in your life? You realize you're lost and you were disturbed and upset. You said, "I'm lost. I'm unable to save myself. Lord, save me or I'll perish." And you believed that Christ paid for your sins at Calvary. When did that happen in your life? The cross represents self-denial. Turn, please, to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16:24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Self-denial. Deny your ability. Why, Jesus Christ said, "Except you become as little children,
you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Become as little children. What about little children? Little children are dependent upon someone else. Little children do not boast in and brag about their ability to go out and get their own food. Little children are unashamed to go to mom and daddy in tears and beg mom and daddy to help them. Little children are unashamed to cry when they're hurt. Little children are unashamed of their mamas and daddies. Little children would never back off from saying, "Mommy," in the middle of the biggest crowd and refer to their mother, no matter who she is or how she looked. There's some of you, you're ashamed to confess Jesus Christ in a crowd. You're ashamed to confess God as your Father in a crowd. But that isn't all. You don't go to your Father for help. You don't look to Him for help. You look to your own ability. We walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible said God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work in the Lord. Why, tell me, will an evangelist get on television if he really believes the Bible, if he really believes in self-denial? Why will that man get on television and talk to you about sending him $5, $6, $7 million to pay his bills? Why will he beg you and connive and con you out of money? If he's walking by faith, then why doesn't he trust the Lord to supply his need? Jesus Christ said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It represents self-denial. Turn, please, to Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew 27, notice in verse 29. Matthew 27, 29, "And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe from off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." Jesus Christ was turned over to these soldiers by Pilate, the Roman governor. He had been tried by Pilate, and Pilate said, "I don't find any fault in him." He had been tried by Herod, but Herod could find no fault in him. And because of the cry of the people, they said, "Crucify him." They said, "We have no king but Caesar." They said, "This is not our king. Crucify this man." And because of that, a criminal's cross was put on Jesus. They took him to this hall. They carried him inside this hall that we were reading about. And they stripped his clothing off him. And there he stood before the people, and they laughed at him and they scorned him. He was suffering your shame. He was experiencing in that moment the shame and the reproach that you ought to suffer. How would you like to be exposed? I mean, sure enough. I mean, really exposed. How would you like for your very heart and the thoughts of your heart to be exposed to everybody? The things that you think in your heart, everything about you, how would you like for that to be exposed? Jesus Christ was exposed in your behalf. He suffered shame and reproach in your behalf. He had been beaten in your behalf. And so there he stood. And they took this purple robe and they put it on his shoulders. They took a crown of thorns and pressed it down on his brow. And they put a reed in his hand and they got on their knees around him. And they bowed themselves. They were belittling him. They were scorning him. They were laughing at him. Amusing themselves at his expense. But he took it at your expense. He suffered it for you. He bore it for you. The Bible says, in effect, that there was nothing about him that if we were to hold him, that we would desire. He wasn't desirable to look upon. It's the work he was doing. It's the thing he was doing that's desirable. And so they finally put his own robe back on him. They tired themselves of all this. In verse 32, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Well, the cross was really Barabbas' cross. Barabbas was to die. Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was a thief. Barabbas committed insurrection against the government and against the people. He sinned against God and he sinned against the people. But he's being set free, and the cross of Barabbas is carried to Calvary, and it is referred to as the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ bore a cross and called it his cross. He became so identified with Barabbas until Barabbas' cross became Christ's cross. Your cross became the cross of Christ. He bore your cross. He bore your crimes. He bore your sins. He died for you, that you by faith in his actions can be saved. What do you need to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't need to go anywhere, say anything. You don't have to pray anything. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that he bore it for you. Believe that he suffered for you and that he paid for your sins. Do it now and be saved. Thank you for listening today. Till next time, good day.